Good evening, everyone. All right. I'll be reading from John chapter 10, verse 7 through 14. It's John chapter 10, verse 7 through 14. All right. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own." Thank you.
Good afternoon. Good to see everyone. And now I do recall what it was that I could remember a few moments ago. Jace, if you and Walker Garrett, there are some outlines back there on that back stand back there. If anybody doesn't have a copy of that outline, if you'll raise your hand, we'll have some of these young men come and bring them to you. That was what it was. In lieu of having the text that I have typically listed on the PowerPoint, we'll have those in a printed form. Tonight's a little unusual. We have a little different setup, but that's great. And we're going to spend some time together tonight looking at God's Word. I appreciate you, young men, getting those handed out. And I am very thankful for our young men and what they're willing to do. Amen? I'm very proud of them and what they're willing to do. Certainly want to commend them for that. As they're getting those things round and about, tonight we're going to be looking at what we talked about this morning, which is the idea that a thief only steals something of value. Now, you look at me and you say, well, now that makes common sense. A thief only steals something of value. So wait a minute. The question is this. Has the devil been working on you? If he's trying to steal you, if you're having some trials and some difficulties, then it could be that you are of value to God. How about that? Maybe it's because you are of value to God, and that's why the devil's trying to steal you. But it is true that there's only the thieves will only take those things of great value. I gotta share with you an interesting story. I believe the year was about 1992. If that wasn't right, Stephanie will correct me later. It might have been 1993. We lived in Covington, Georgia, and our house was broken into. We were both gone to work. Lauren was at a daycare facility at that time, and she was just a little girl. And our house was broken into, and everything that we had that was of any value was stolen. And Stephanie had some antique jewelry, belonged to her grandmother, all of it stolen. I had some camera equipment because Brother Gwill had taught me to take good wedding pictures. I don't know about how good they were, but he taught me to take them anyway. And I had some camera equipment, all kinds of things like that. All of it stolen. And it was just the microwave gone, television's gone, all that kind of stuff. And it's one of those things, it's just a terrible thing. And I went back to my bedroom to see what had been, and all the things had been rifled through. And there on top of the desk was my computer. Now, what in the world would a thief do leaving a computer? Well, I had a Radio Shack brand Tandy computer. That tell you something? Texas Instruments, they went in together with the Radio Shack, formed a company called Tandy, built some computers for a few years. I had a Tandy 1000 computer that I had souped up, by the way, put some stuff in. They didn't know that. And what else they didn't know was I had the ability, while the police were fingerprinting the inside of our house. And by the way, that fingerprint dust, it's not like Barney does. It's not white when they shake it. It's black and it makes a mess. And while they were fingerprinting the inside of our house, I was able to print an inventory of everything that we had in the serial numbers that we had on. In those days, I was very efficient that way. And so I was able to print all those things and give it to the police. So hopefully they could track those things down. They never were able to. But I found it interesting that they left that computer. Now, the trick was they didn't know how valuable it was to me. They took everything else that they saw of value. And, you know, Satan is like that in many ways. He's going to try to take us and get us away from God because, you see, before God, you and I are valued vessels. Did you know that? We are valued vessels before God. When we look at our text and back in verses 7 and 8 from John chapter 10, we see there that Jesus tells us that those who had come before, who had claimed to be the Messiah, and there were those who had come before him that claimed to be the Messiah, they were just robbers and liars. The sheep were paying attention to them, though, and the sheep were able to determine that they were liars and they wouldn't follow them. They knew, as sheep, they had a target painted on them. They knew they were of value before God. Did you realize that as a child of God, you are a valued vessel to Him? Because of all that you can do and the great, great things that you can accomplish for God, you are a valued vessel before Him. But don't be surprised if the devil comes ringing your doorbell. And he won't show up, by the way, with a sign and a pitchfork and horns and a pointed tail. He might come ringing your doorbell as a friend or as a neighbor or as a family member, trying to try you, trying to hurt you in ways you wouldn't possibly believe. But I'm here to tell you tonight that thieves only take those things that are of value, and the Satan is going to use people and things round about you to hurt you. I mean, think about it for a minute. When we look at Matthew chapter 4, he had the audacity to tempt the very Son of God. Then Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted for 40 days, he was afterward hungry. Have you ever been tired? I mean, really, really tired. And then there was a temptation that came upon you. Maybe you were working hard on a project and there was, you know, all those things were working and then something broke. Ugh. What about a person project? You're trying to care for somebody. You're loving somebody. You're being very compassionate. You're being very understanding. You're being very honoring. And they're warming up and things are going well. And then all of a sudden, they're ugly. Just pull the rug right out from under you. Well, Jesus was tired. I think 40 days of fasting and then saying he was hungry. I'm sorry, that's an understatement to me. He was tired, tired like we couldn't possibly believe. And here comes Satan to tempt him. And when the tempter came, verse 3 says, he said, if you be the Son of God, then command that these stones be made bread. Wow. Jesus, if you are who you say you are, then do a little magic and turn these stones into bread. You know you want it. You have the power to do it, don't you? If it had been me in the place of the Savior, I might have cast the devil into a pit that he would have never understood the pain that it would have caused him. If I had been in that position, I would have sent him into into the pits of hell, and then I would have made those stones a feast to provide for my need. But that's not what Jesus did. When we look at verse 4, he answered and said, it's written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Son of God, in a physical body, by the way, showed me that even in the deepest of need, the spirit is more important than the body. God's word will satisfy my hunger. I have within me the power of decision. But the devil wouldn't let Jesus alone. He took him up to the holy city and set him up on a pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, if you be the Son of God, then throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. He was quoting God's word, by the way. Psalm 91, beginning at verse 11. The devil was saying, Jesus, here's what your father said. For he shall give his angels charge concerning thee to keep thee in all thy ways, and they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Show me, I dare you, he says. If you are who you claim to be, the angels are watching over you, aren't they? If God really cared about you, he wouldn't let this happen to you. Has any of us said that to ourselves? You're supposed to be the Son of God, the devil says to Jesus, and look at you. You're supposed to be the Son of God, prove it. Verse 7, Jesus said, it's written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again, the valued vessel would not listen to Satan. He would not allow himself to be stolen, even in the mishandling of God's word. Satan, you'll not tempt the Lord God. But you and I say, what about me? What about me when I'm tempted? When I'm tempted, I need to be hiding behind the protection of the Almighty God. It is to Him I should run when things grow difficult. Philippians 4:13 does not focus on the I. The focus there is on the through Christ all things may be accomplished. It is through Christ that all things may be accomplished. When temptation comes our way, it is to Him that we should run. But again, the devil, he goes after Jesus again. He takes him up to an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. In verse 9, he said, all these things I will give to you if you will but fall down, bow down, and worship me. That's all you have to do. You're tired, right? You can have control of all of these things. Follow me, and you will have control. You can have them all. You want to save them, right? You can have control of them all. Just bow down to me. That's kind of what he says to you and I. Follow me, and you'll have control. Stay away from those truth fanatics. Yes, Jesus is good, but follow me, and I'll give you more. That's what he says. If God really thought you were of such value, then why didn't He give you what I'm promising you? You see, all of these things that we read of that took place in the days of antiquity apply to us today. Amen? Jesus said, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him alone shalt thou serve. Jesus just simply said no. He simply said no. And if there was ever anybody who had been in a position to say the devil made me do it, it was Jesus. But he simply said, get away from me. Get away from me. We, too, have the power of decision. The ability to go to God in prayer and plead with him for his help in time of temptation. It's so important to remember that we have this power of decision when trials come our way and not give in to the excuse of sin, because we can so easily fold up into this victim mentality. Well, this has happened to me and that has happened to me. And because of this, well, I'm going to just choose to go this way. But we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In verse 13, there is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God, he's faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that there you may be also able to bear it. When Jesus responded to Satan, making a very important and a definite decision to push him away, the devil left him, and the angels ministered to him. Jesus, a valued vessel before God, has invited you and I to be his brothers and sisters, to be valued vessels along with him. And those who have followed him along the way, those who are Christians, are not only valued vessels, but are also valiant vessels. We look at verse 9. Jesus said, I'm the door. And by me, any man shall enter in, and he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and there he shall find pasture. The bold dare to do things that are pleasing to God. They dare to be those who would follow God no matter what. In Daniel chapter 6, we read there of Darius the king. And he found it to be pleasing to put 20 princes over all the whole kingdom. And over these 3 presidents. And Daniel was the first, that the princes might give an account to him, and the king should have no damage. Daniel was preferred, or he was distinguished above the presidents and principals. And because of an excellent spirit that was in him, the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Now, as we continue to read here, we find that they were jealous of Daniel because he wasn't born in their land. He wasn't of their nationality, and they were looking for something to do, to find a fault with him. And they said, well, we're not going to find any problem with him because Daniel's such a good man. But they got together and they met with King Darius and the presidents of the kingdom in verse 7, and the governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute. And there it is to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of you, O king, he shall be cast into a den of lions. They were trying to set him up. And they did, as we read on through the chapter. We read that they exposed the fact that Daniel was going to pray as he did always. And then as we read, as we go through this chapter, that even though he was troubled by his decree, King Darius did what he said he was going to do and threw him into the lion's den. I found it interesting that the way that the Bible records these things, that King Darius lost sleep over this. He was troubled by this, no doubt. But we find as we continue to read that Daniel, he was saved from the lion's den, for God closed the mouths of the lions. But Daniel was bold even to the point of what he knew to be death coming. You and I, we hear about things in foreign lands where there would be those who would be brought to their knees to be executed, and it would be said to them, if you will just deny your God, your life will be saved. And that's often the promise. I don't know that it would be, but that's sometimes the promise, whatever it might be. And we might today, those of us sitting here who have never faced this kind of thing, we might say, well, it's just words, and it would save my life. What about going into eternity, knowing that you said, I will not deny my God? That is a valiant vessel before God. As a valued vessel before Him, we need to be those who are valiant as well. We need to be those who would be willing to be bold. We don't have to go look for trouble, by the way. The devil's going to bring it to you. As a Christian, he's going to bring it right to our doorstep. We don't have to go hunt it. He's going to bring it. But we need to be a people who understand our value to God, and therefore understand that we can be valiant, we can be bold. We don't have to fear what comes from this world. Not at all. We don't have to fear those things at all. We put our trust in God. He takes care of His own. With that in mind, we need to understand, even when we are valiant, we need to be on our watch, because we are vulnerable. We are vulnerable vessels as well. When we look back at our text in John and look at verses 12 and 13, we see that he that's an hireling and not a shepherd, whose own sheep they're not, he sees the wolf coming and he leaves the sheep and flees. He takes off. He runs. Why? Because they're not his own. And, you know, no matter how good and how strong we try to be, as human beings, we can fail one another. We can fail one another. We can let each other down. The hireling got, he was afraid. And we look at that and we wag our heads, and then we look at Peter when he met eyes with Jesus there at his trial, and we say, oh, he shouldn't have done that. But wait a minute. We need to think carefully and look in the mirror before we start pointing fingers and realize how vulnerable we truly are. How vulnerable we are to the way the devil works, trying to trip us up. Because you see, the devil's lost his place, and he doesn't want you to have one either. You ever seen that happen sometimes with a child, you know, two children playing with something, and something, well, if I can't have it, I'll just break it. That's the way the devil does us about our soul. I can't be in heaven, and I don't want you to be there either. And I'm going to do everything I can to take you out. So therefore, we need to be on our watch, because we are indeed vulnerable. We need to keep in mind how much He loves us, and that we belong to Him. For greater love has no man than this, than that he should lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus said, you are my friends if you follow my commands. John chapter 15, verses 13 and 14. It's a wonderful thing to be a friend of Jesus, because despite our vulnerabilities, He is there to provide us with a helping hand. He is watching over us, and he fills the voids of vulnerability. For you see, as God's own, we are viewed vessels also. We go back and look at these verses, and we can't help but realize that even in these circumstances, we're in these spots where he watches over us, and he will not leave us. The writer to the Hebrews tells us, chapter 13, verse 8, that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's looking over us. He's looking over us. He knows us. But I wonder sometimes if we think ourselves not worthy that he should notice us. Remember the very first thing that we talked about. We are valuable vessels to God. Valuable vessels before him. And because of that, he was willing to suffer and die on a cross at Calvary. He was willing to sacrifice his life. This is not a story from antiquity. This is not some one of those things. This is something we need to realize that is real. He loves you. And he lives this moment sitting on the right hand of God, awaiting all who would obey him. And he knows your name. He knows who you are. And he has given us his word that he will save us if we will follow him. The question is, will we trust him? Will we look to him? Will we be willing to follow him as he watches over us? Too many in this world would say, I want to be his. Many would claim that I am his, and yet turn their backs on his word. When we look at verse 14, we see here that those who follow him all the way are victorious vessels. For you see, he said, I'm the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I'm known of them. They know me, and I know them. I don't know about you, but on the last day, when we stand before the judgment seat, I want him to know my name. You see, I explained this to a good friend of mine recently. The way that I see it is that we will be before the judgment seat and the devil will point and he will say, guilty. Amen. And on the big screen jumbotron before all of humanity will be every moment of my life replayed. Time won't matter anymore, so we'll have plenty of time to look. And before all of humanity, every moment of every life will be played. And I understand that there are several others, but I'm thinking about mine. What about you? Played out before all of humanity, I want Jesus to say, I've covered the cost. He belongs to me. Now the devil's going to say, but wait a minute. And I'm sure he will argue. Jesus said, I shed blood so that he could be my victorious vessel. But I've got to trust him enough. I've got to believe him enough to be willing to do what he asks me to do. That means I need to put my trust in him and what he has said. I need to believe that he is the Son of God. and not try to challenge him like the devil did. Not dare him. I'm afraid that sometimes we do that with sin, by the way. We want to play with fire and dare him. Jesus said, if you believe me, then these are some things you're going to do. First of all, you're going to make a change in your life. You're going to repent of this stuff. You're going to put those things that are ungodly out of your life and really make a change in your life. And you know, that might even mean that on the biggest change that I have to make is seeking him on a daily basis. I dare say that there wouldn't be many of us who would say that we go without eating all day. Even if we're on a diet and we're eating salad and eating like a rabbit, we're going to eat something. So why should we think our spirit would be less valuable than our body and not make a change in our lives to seek him daily? He also tells us, as we read in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32, that we need to confess that he is the Son of God before others. And he tells us that we need to be baptized for the remission of sins, as we read in Mark 16:16 and Acts 2 and verse 38. But as his victorious vessels, we need to be seeking him daily, lest as his vessels we lose our luster. You know, around our house, we've got a knick-knack or two. What about you? You know, those little things, you know, sometimes the children give you things, you know. I've got some Coke bottles, you know, some things like that. You know what? All those things require some dusting. If you don't wipe the dust off of them regularly, after a little while, not only do they get all gray and looking like you, then after a while, it's hard to get the dust off. If I don't continue every day to draw closer to God, I'm letting dust grow on me. And after a while, it's really hard to get it off. The watchword is, don't let it pile up. As God's valued vessels, we need to be those who are constantly seeking to please him. With that in mind, we are working on those things that would be pleasing to the Almighty God. And it doesn't matter, by the way, when we leave this life, how much of a mountain of wealth that we have obtained. Because what's important is our relationship with him. Never seen a U-Haul tied to a hearse, right? So as we close our period of study together tonight, I ask you one simple question. Is the devil trying to steal you? Because if he's not, it could be a need for a change. And with a beautiful day like this, my prayer is that you won't let this hour pass without making all things right with him. Won't you be his valuable vessel now, as together we stand and sing?